Rose Pricks would like to thank its new premium subscribers, Melissa Mullen, Raisa Nolasco, Tanner Bruce, Holly Windsor, Augustunke, Lina Stekel, Ashley Hahn, Lourdes Gavilanas, Rachel Sarah Pearson, Mia Hansen Aloha, Julie Hertfeldt, Cassandra, Susie Hawkins, Melissa Hamilton, Christina M. Colombo, and Ashley. Hello and welcome to the Rose Pricks podcast. This is Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Watch What Crappens podcast. And here I am with my little just holidayed Stephanie Wilder Taylor of For Crying Out Loud and the Sword and Scale Rewind podcast, which starts June 14th. Hello, Steph.
Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, babes?
I've missed you. I'm so excited to be back doing this show. It's such a train wreck. It's amazing.
This show is a train wreck, and it looks like it just gets uglier by the week.
Oh, it's going to be good.
And I'm not talking about you, Lee. Have you noticed that that little dude, Lee, with the side poof is starting to look like an old lesbian lady? Like a little tiny, like maybe someone, someone who was on like the Wizard of Oz original. And they're like, it's the last Wizard of Oz munchkin here to sing a show tune from Showboat at a piano bar.
I love that there's multiple, villains on this show. Like they've got villains to spare. As soon as they get rid of Waboom, what's his name? Lee will crop up and start cackling and making magic. By the way, I'm very excited because even though we're still kind of a baby show, we have a sponsor, Ronnie, and it's Kinks Cosmetics for active individuals. Listen, I personally use this eyeliner. It was sent to me and I called them up and I said, please advertise on our show because our listeners would love your makeup. It's little eyeliners to make your eyes look like Adele, but it comes on easily, yet it's like waterproof. Okay. But that normally doesn't go together. A makeup that stays on and doesn't smudge, but that you can actually get off with just like a pad or a soap and water. It's great stuff. And for our listeners, we have a special. So you can go to Kinks Active, which is spelled K-I-N-X Active.com/the goods, or just go look up Kinks Active. And then if you use the promo code RosePricks20, you're going to get 20% off your purchase. And please just go at least check it out to support our show so they'll keep advertising with us.
Heck yeah. Thanks, Kinks.
Yeah, baby.
That's Rose Pricks 20. All right, well, let's get into this Bachelor episode.
Why not?
We're learning so much so soon about Rachel, even though she's trying to do things like, you know, just say vulnerable, walls down, and all the like typical.
Want to find love, ready to get this started.
She's going through all the typical Bachelor tropes. I mean, she'll throw like 5-1. She'll be like, well, my walls are up, but I'm vulnerable and here for the right reason. So
I'm a little scared, but I'm ready to find love and I want to get this started.
I know.
I wrote down all of them in a row. I was like, come on, Rachel.
She said multiple times, I'm ready to get this started. And you know what? She loves a beginning because last season she said, I can't wait to make another first impression like 5 times. So she's all about the beginning, you know?
Yep. You know what else I've noticed about this show? So last season when Rachel was a contestant, it was all about like she's got a job, career woman. Now that she's Rachel ready to find love, no mention of her job.
Yeah.
There's no like, I'm an attorney. Stuff's happening behind the scenes. I had to leave my cases for this. I love my job. Nothing. We've not heard word one that Rachel does anything with her day besides look for love.
But have you noticed that like every sentence she says has something about the law in it? She'll be like, well, that's not the case. Ding, 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 ding. She's like, I object to that, DeMario. Like everything she says has a little something. She's like, I see no evidence of that, sir.
That's true. That is true.
You know what? I think we need to take a recess from this. And let me just think it over. It's like, okay, Rachel, we get it. So she has a three-legged dog, and you really get to know a lot about people with a three-legged dog. I was hoping it was just going to be permanently three-legged because that would mean that she needs a broken person. But yeah, the dog is not perma-three. It's it got in a terrible accident, so it's like temporary three. But part of me suspects that she just keeps breaking the leg so that she has something to take care of. Thoughts?
Like she has Munchausen's by dog proxy?
Yeah. Munchausen by doxies. Doxies.
Yeah, and I wanted to know what was wrong. What happened? What was the accident that the dog got into?
I accidentally stepped on it. I threw it out the car when I got mad. I mean, I feel like it's abuse. I feel like there's some kind of abuse because Rachel's really too nice. And people who are that nice are either the serial killer next door, which everybody's like, oh my God, they were so nice. Or they like hurt their children. Or, you know, they don't vote. It's like there's something wrong with every... Do you like those extremes?
Yes. All right. Well, let's not skip way ahead because... I mean, yes, there's a lot to say. And I do think that we saw Rachel's angry side later. All in all, I am coming around to Rachel.
Oh, I like Rachel. Yeah. Who doesn't like Rachel?
I thought she'd be really boring. But I think she's actually... once she got mad, she was much more interesting.
Yeah, I really like Rachel. She's just a little boring, you know?
She's bland. Yeah, she's kind of vanilla.
But she will cry a lot, so that's good. I mean, it's already episode two and she's crying. And she's like, I do not want to do this anymore. I object. I will be in the bathroom for recess. And then she's crying. And Chris is like, seriously, I got out of my trailer for this. Like, this is my 5 minutes of work a day. And they called me out here. And now I have to wait for you to poop.
Chris is like 80. Too. Have you noticed that? He's not... The seasons are wearing on him. He just looks like kind of an old guy. They need to get a new host.
I think he might be thinking about running for office because he's starting to do that politician hand where he's like using arm movements a lot. I've never noticed that until now. Has he always done that?
No, he hasn't. I think... Well, maybe... I don't know.
I feel like I just noticed it today. Maybe they're just not framing him right anymore and we're suddenly seeing his arm movements. Okay, so anyway, the plot. Because I'll talk about Chris becoming mayor for 5 hours. Because I love fake politics.
Well, and Chris is really doubling down on the whole themes of the show. And today's theme was here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And they must have said it 20 times on the show. And Chris opens up by saying... I just want to say, I hope everyone's here for the right reasons. Really, Chris? You hope that? Because I bet you don't.
You hired a guy who calls himself Waboom and had a tank top with like a carnival drawing of himself on it that also said Waboom with a hashtag. Yeah. You're really hoping people are here for the right reasons, Chris. Hey, what are your reasons? What the fuck are you here, Chris? Just to get a paycheck? Wrong reasons. I object. Okay, so Rachel starts off. She's like, last night was so great. These guys lit a fire under me. I'm like, it's too soon. Like, the Salem witch trials were a long time ago, but, like, let's stop accusing people of things. Okay.
Oh, God. All right, so let's go straight to... So there's a group date, and Side Pompadour reads the date card, and we find out that Dean, who looks like he's 14, Jack, who's the tilted head guy, Jonathan, who's the creeper tickle monster, Blake, who's the aspiring drummer, Kenny, the dad, Iggy, who I just hate, Fred, who's the a banker, you know, the V-neck sweater guy, and Waboom are all going on the date.
Yeah, that's a lot of dates. And the guys are saying little things in their interviews, like, it's time to cement stuff. I love Bachelor English.
Yeah.
I really like Rachel, so it's time to cement stuff. I'm like, she's just put herself on a fire, and now people are wanting to cement her. Why do I feel like Rachel's not going to make it through this season?
I know. And then I was creeped out for her because the group date starts out. They're just at some random spot in what looks like the Angeles Forest.
And there's trailers there. It's a trailer park. I was like, are we really going to start like this?
And we're just barbecuing for no reason. She's just barbecuing, surrounded by eight horny guys who want to be fake meat, who've probably only been vaguely background checked. I'm like, this is not a good scenario for Rachel.
I liked her mix of food. She's like, there's three hot dogs, three hamburgers, two turkey dogs, a bell
The
pepper.
sausage.
Like, what is this, a diner? She's like, there's a banana parfait, a turkey sandwich, or a 5-course Indian meal. It's like the Cheesecake Factory. What the hell are you doing over there? Just make a couple of burgers. So she's like, welcome to our future, the trailer park. Fight over a hot dog. So
Yeah,
then Mila
because
and
none of you
Ashton,
guys have a job and I'm gonna quit mine.
and I
Yeah.
loved that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher come and they're having a baby obstacle course where there's, they have to do all this baby stuff to make sure they're good for husbanding. And Mila's like, okay, first of all, who has a job? And they all raise their hands, which is not true. Even the tickle monster raised his hand. I was like, that is not a job. Like, doing your best to get listed on Megan's List or Megan's Law or whatever that website is not a job. That is a hobby, sir. So let me see here. There was something where Mila said, well, do you guys have any feelings? And they're like, well, we're just getting to know each other, right? Reasons, walls up. And Ashton said, really? Because I knew it was love at first sight. I'm like, you met her on That 70s Show, then you married Demi Moore, and then you made
Exactly.
her so crazy she was doing like synthetic weed and like, I don't know, blowing up buildings.
Yeah, joining the Scientology light, whatever that is, right? The what do you call it?
Kabbalah?
The Kabbalah, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I need a red string, Demi Moore. So you broke an old lady's heart and wasted the last of her best years, and then you went back to Mila Kunis. So let's please
Yeah.
stop pretending this was love at first sight, Ashton. Please take off your shirt and show
Exactly.
me your butt crack. Love you.
I love that Mila and Ashton are both pretending like that we're just regular people. We're just fans. We just love your show. We called the producers and we were like, "Can we be on? Could we help her find love?" God.
The minute we heard,
Celebrities, they're
we
just like
called up the
us.
producers. Oh,
Yeah.
Mila. And Mila's like, ha ha ha. And she like laughs by falling on the ground and laughing. I was like, if this was her season, Waboom would have a chance.
Oh God. And then Rachel. It's just really amazing to have Mila and Ashton help me, you know? I just really love having Mila and Ashton here. You're not on a first name basis with Mila and Ashton. You're a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, she's going to
I don't
see
know.
them in future and be like, hi, Mila and Ashton. And they're going to be
Yeah.
like, who that bitch?
Yeah.
Why is she talking to us in the Whole Foods? This is why I
Yeah.
said we should only go to Gelson's. No one knows who we are there. Everyone pretends they don't know our names. So they
So
do this
they do
baby
the
course.
challenge, yeah, and it's like Survivor. And Mila and Ashton are laughing like it's one of Ashton's movies. They're like, "Oh
This is like when you did that comedy film about the cul-de-sac. His comedy movies are so stupid. It's like a silly guy on a brick wall, like climbing a
wacky."
wall. Like, what is this about, Ashton? So, I didn't write much down about this challenge, except all these people are terrifying. And Waboom is like, whoa, boom, and he wins. And it's
Well,
terrifying.
it comes down to, this is the sad part. It comes down to being a race between Waboom and Single Dad. And I was wanting Single Dad to win so bad, but Waboom wins, which means there's only one loser, and it's Rachel. And I was feeling sad.
Yeah, Rachel was wob. You just got waboomed, ma'am. So
Yeah.
he's all excited, and the head Bobby guy is like, "Well, I'm happy for Waboom, but I'm not sure you want Waboom as your husband." I was like, "Please stop moving your head. The car is not even moving right now, bobblehead. Stop moving your fucking head." So he wins, and Ashton hates him on sight because he's like, wow, boom. And Ashton's like, Jim Carrey's an asshole, and so are you. And then Ashton blows the horn after Waboom does his like face shaky Jim Carrey thing. He's like, foul play. I don't know what that was. I was like, wow. Ashton Kutcher, he of the cul-de-sac movies. By the way, if anyone's wondering what the cul-de-sac movie is, it's not real. I don't know why I keep saying that. It just sounds like the most boring plot for a movie that Ashton would be in. But he blows
that's really funny because I thought that I was like, well, I, you know, have probably not seen any Ashton Kutcher actual movies, so I was just assuming that was one of them. Sounds real. People are madly Googling it. Cul-de-sac. They're like, maybe I'm spelling cul-de-sac wrong.
Well, it is a tricky spelling. Oh, English.
Yeah.
So Blake, he of the straightened 80s bangs. Yeah.
Yeah.
he of the stomach shave. It's like, it's so frustrating that he's run because I was waiting for him to burn his own bridge, but the bridge isn't burning fast enough. And then he throws his baby on the ground and he's like, waboom. Like, ooh, a good bridge burn joke.
The thing that's so hilarious is that, and I don't know if we're up to this part yet, but we're about to be right now. So they're trying to set up this thing between Blake and Waboom and how Blake knew him before. And so he's trying to throw Waboom under the bus, but it's hard to take him seriously when the Chiron keeps coming up aspiring drummer. It's like, how are you trying to come off as like the good guy here? You're an aspiring drummer.
Yeah, your whole intro was about your penis doing pull-ups.
Yes!
And aspiring to be a drummer and shaving your stomach, but not your chest.
Yeah, I don't think you look that great even next to Waboom.
You want to keep a guy like Waboom around. When you're a stomach shaver, you need someone like Waboom around.
Yeah.
It turns out I had like a page of notes for that scene, but I misordered them. So you're welcome, everybody. You don't have to listen to it. So back at the house, Lee, the little tiny lesbian with the side poof, is like, well, you know, those guys who are on the group date, they have the most pressure. And I'm really glad I avoided it, you know, because those guys might look like shit, just like the guys across from me might look like shit. And he's talking to Urkel, and Urkel's like, you know, he's funny, but he takes it too far. He just called me shit. And then Lee's like, well, you know what? If those guys don't step up to the plate at their group date, then I'll step in and I'll take one of those spots. I'm like, that's not how it works, you know? It's like, that guy was bad at a baby. Let's bring in the tiny lesbian to redo this challenge. Shut up, Lee.
Yeah. Lee's like, listen, you guys, I have experience being on reality shows. I used to be on The Real L Word, but now I'm looking for a different kind of love.
I have to hand it to Iggy, who's Moana's caretaker or whatever. The Moana's version of Hagrid. Iggy's like, oh, I can do this challenge because I poop every day. And marriage.
Oh, God.
This show. So at the end of this challenge, they go to some like warehouse where Miss Pac-Man machines go to die.
Yeah. It's like an adult version of Chuck E. Cheese. Do you think they're at like a Dave and Buster's? What is that? I've never been to Dave and Buster's, but that's how I imagine it.
No, Dave and Buster's is like, it's beyond Miss Pac-Man because, you know, Miss Pac-Man's a quarter and then it's just like a chomping circle. But this is, you know, Dave and Buster's is like, this is a $5 game where you pretend to drive a car for 1 minute. Or, you know, here's a big dance revolution machine. Or here's a giant slot machine. Everything costs like $5.
Oh,
so
God.
This is where video games go to die. I don't even know what they were doing here. But Rachel's like, you guys, you made it so easy for me today. And you're really starting it right for my journey. I'm really excited for this to begin. Rachel, it's like the middle of episode two. It's begun. Does anyone have a quarter? Because I really want to make this video game begin. I love beginnings.
Oh, God. So Rachel goes to spend some time with Waboom. She looks miserable. She's like, well, Waboom won the potential husband challenge, so I guess that means that I have to go spend 5 minutes with him. Guys, help me. Help me.
And he pushed somebody in the game. And she's like, whoa, you pushed him. You really got into that beginning. And Waboom was like, you realize who I pushed him for, right? She's like, you pushed that guy for me? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do what it takes. And my mind said, I got to win because Rachel's at the end. And he's trying to cry. He's like, cry boom, Waboom. She's like, you're funny.
So then Rachel goes and talks to Fred. And this is where I started to get a little bit annoyed with her. Like, enough with the you were his camp counselor.
Yeah, that guy must have been really, really bad. I feel like Fred, he of the dad sweater, was like masturbating at camp a lot, like going behind the bleachers, something. Because she's like disgusted with Fred. Whatever he did at camp. I don't know if he like sexually harassed somebody when he was six. I don't know what was going on, but she's disgusted with Fred.
I know, but I was like, leave him alone or eliminate him. But how is he supposed to go? He can't go back to third grade. And I mean, he was a kid.
No kidding. I mean, what are you going to start holding things against everybody that they did as a child? You can't do that. You know, you would think that I'm a drag queen who dresses like my mom in the junior league. You know, I love boogers. And I try to tap dance on my sister's face. Like, I would just look like an abusive, crazy drag queen.
Yeah. And then your, you know, potential husband would never be able to let that go.
Yeah. It's like, remember that time? Remember how you began it? It's like, she can't let go of beginnings. So,
And by the way, I have two third graders. So I'm just saying I take it personally. Because I'm like, if you held against, you know, my kids, Maddie and Sadie, in the third grade, if they were adults looking for love and it was constantly like, remember when you were constantly getting in trouble in school for whispering to your neighbor?
Yeah.
Let it the fuck go.
Yeah, my mom still does stuff like that. She's like, well, you had colic. You never shut up. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're mad at me for having colic? I have a feeling that had to do with the box of Franzia you drank every day while you were pregnant. I was probably like in detox when I came out. I was like, please give me a glass of wine, please. So Blake is back talking to the guys, and he's like, you guys, I know Lucas Waboom from a previous encounter. It's like, what is this, Craigslist?
Which was another stupid reality show.
Oh, it was?
Yes, they were on a reality show. I can't remember what it was called.
He's like,
yeah.
Well, he's been doing Waboom, the character, for 3 years, and he's just here to do his act. I was like, that's his act? That's like actually something that he goes around and does. A previous encounter. He's like, casual encounters. You hurt my feelings, Waboom.
But again, while he's talking, it's like aspiring drummer underneath his name.
Yeah.
And then there's some convoluted story about how, so he knows Waboom, and Waboom's ex-girlfriend is now Blake's roommate. Which is going to come back to haunt us.
Yeah, which I can't even believe he's talking about that because it ends up biting him in the ass. And meanwhile, Waboom is reading some letter to Rachel. He's like, your smile is like tile and I like to nail file. And she's like, he continues to surprise me. What a beginning. So then Head Bob is, you know, she starts talking to all the guys. And,
Sidehead Jack.
Yeah, what does he say?
He's just sitting there with his head cocked to the side like a dog who doesn't understand what you're saying, but just gets a word now and then with that ears up, head tilted, and nothing.
It's like if you say, it's raining outside, and your dog perks up because he hears outside, but he's not sure if you're talking to him.
Yes. So back at the mansion, we find out that Peter is getting the first one-on-one date.
Yes. He's like, I'm looking for a best friend. Shut up, Peter.
So then we go back and we're still dealing with Blake. And so my kids made an astute observation. I thought they're like, Mom, Blake is like Taylor from The Bachelor from Nick's season. And Waboom is like Corinne.
Okay, remind me of who Taylor is.
So Taylor was like I forgot what her nationality was. You know, but she was the one who got left on the island Not on the island. She was the one that hated, she was emotional
intelligence. She was the one who got left on the witch island and then became a witch and tried to ruin the date.
Yes. Remember how she was just made it her goal to take down Corinne?
Emotional intelligence, yes.
Yes.
And then she tried to hurt Corinne's date. So that's why they're saying that he's like Corinne, because how dare your children? Because I love Corinne. I want to make America, I want to make Corinne great again. McGa. And I don't appreciate that. And when they're adults and they get married, I'm going to go to their weddings and I'm going to say, you know what? I kind of like you, but I can't ever forgive you for calling Waboom Corinne. So
thank you. Okay.
I'll never let it go as they're adults. And Moana is like sweating for some reason. He's like, how do you feel? Do you have a paper towel? It's gross. And then
Rachel sits with Dean for a little bit. And for some reason, she's like, I'm really in. All of the guys are just kind of, she starts saying that everybody's boring to her. And like, I don't know. I just don't really, I'm not feeling it with any of these guys. But suddenly, Dean, who looks like he's 14, he's got big teeth. And he looks like every other guy except younger. And she's like, but Dean is a breath of fresh air. He just came in and he wasn't talking about the other guys. And I'm really into him.
And then Blake's, hold on. I just have to say that Blake was like, I'm the only chink in Waboom's armor. Like, A, that's racist. And B, no, you're not. There's plenty of chinks in his armor. His name is Waboom.
So, yeah, that's the first chink. That's the biggest chink.
It's like beating up a 5-year-old and being like, I won. I won a fight. Like, you're big. So Blake, not right reasons, ex-girlfriend's roommate. He's a clown for exposure. Rachel crossed arms.
So
he goes to Tattletale, yeah?
Yes. Then she sits with Blake. But then Blake, this was so cooked, I felt. Blake goes and sits with Waboom and is like, I need to tell you something. So I went and talked to Rachel and I told her about you, about your whole Wabooming everywhere and just trying to bring Waboom back to the show. And then Waboom's like, dude, wow. And then Blake's like, yeah, well, my roommate is your ex-girlfriend. And she says that you're a maniac. And then Waboom's like,
no, Waboom is the one who says, you want me to tell everybody that my ex-girlfriend is your roommate, and she said that you're a maniac and you're crazy? And he goes, yeah, and that's why she's being evicted right now. Fucking Blake. And when Blake was tattletaling, I hate the tattletales. I hate them.
Oh, God, me too.
But at least, on the last season of The Bachelorette, there was that little midget guy who's from the Marines. And he's like, I'm going to tell. Chad's not here for the right reasons. He's only here for lunch meat. And she was like, oh, my God, he's using me for sodium nitrate. But this guy doesn't even have anything. He's just like, hey, Rachel, he's not here for the right reasons. He's just here to promote Waboom. Do you think Rachel doesn't know that? He showed up in a Waboom shirt and it said Waboom every 5 minutes. She knows Blake.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like no crime here.
Yeah.
Waboom gets in a little fight with Blake.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry that I keep doing this, but my notes are all over the place. And also I'm smoking outside the green. I'm smoking at the screen door while I read them. But also Blake goes, Rachel, I want you to notice his makeup, because he went to a department store and he bought it himself so that he could look good on TV.
I know. What do you even
electric
say to
electric chair. Yeah, she's like that is the death penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like convicted. So then Kenny goes to talk to Rachel. And I like Kenny, but he goes straight for the I have a daughter talk every time. And I get it. You have a 10-year-old. Like, I understand. I have kids. But that there has to be a little bit more to you than just like, oh, my God, I love my daughter.
Also, unless your wife died, this isn't a good thing to say on a date. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. I had a woman with a baby, I had a baby with a woman, and now I'm leaving her to be here. But she's all I really think about. Rachel's like, why the fuck do I want to raise your ex-wife's daughter or your ex-girlfriend's daughter? Like, what the hell? How is that supposed to be attractive? And he's like, well, she's 10 feet tall. And she's like, yeah, that's even less attractive. He's like, yeah, but if you raise her, we can take out the back seat so she could sit in there. And she's like, you're making this worse.
Oh God.
Who does that?
She's like, you're so, but you're like the wrestler, right? He's like, yeah. But I have a 10-year-old daughter, you know. She's like, but, and sometimes you wrestle. He's like, no, most of the time I'm with my 10-year-old daughter because I have a daughter.
And Rachel's like, I
A
can't wait
daughter.
to raise another woman's child. My dad's gonna love that.
Oh God. So back at the house, DeMario and Josiah are back to their same thing about arguing about who's going to win, which just means neither one of them.
Yeah,
And
that was embarrassing.
foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to the wrestler and he's like, "You know, I'm really glad I got to talk about my daughter because I was really excited for Rachel to know who I am outside Kenny the Wrestler." It's like, "Dude, no one knows Kenny the Wrestler." Okay?
But honestly, real talk, Kenny's cute.
Kenny is cute, yeah.
I like him for her. I mean,
I
look,
don't.
compared to these other guys, you don't.
No. Rachel is young enough. She needs to not be raising someone else's kid. Sorry.
I
I know
know,
that
but she's
sounds
only
mean.
35.
That's old. And then she was like, "Yeah, but you're old
She's like
now."
32. Isn't she 32?
Is this the scene where she's like, "You're the oldest guy?" And he goes, "Yeah, you know, that's why I want to be here because my time's running out." I was like, that's another thing every woman wants to hear. "I want to date you because I'm desperate that I can't find anybody else after,
Yeah.
you know, after I leave here." It's like this
Yeah.
guy's failing on every level. He does have a nice smile, but nobody names themselves like, you know, what's his name again? It's really long. It's like wrestler
Yeah.
high five cherry pick. It's like the
Yeah.
longest wrestling name ever. He's
Like
just kind of a fail on every level.
Froyo football, the wrestler. Yeah. So, and then he, you know, he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm 35, so basically I just like to sit around the house. I mean, I have arthritis, you know, in my knees from being a wrestler. And so, you know, I don't like to go out and socialize because, you know, I'm 35. I just want to stay home in the rocking chair and, you know, with my daughter on my lap and you by my side.
She's like, "Sounds great." So, the group, Nate. So, I like that Rachel just narrates the obvious stuff. She's like, "Well, this was a group date, and then we went on a date that was a group, and then there were babies, and then somebody won, and then now here we are, standing in this room with broken Miss Pac-Man machines. Hi, everyone." She's
Yeah.
just like the narrator of her own show. So she gives Dean the rose.
Yeah.
And I forgot what he said that was so romantic. Let me see. Rachel and Dean's private time. "Dean, did you touch Ashton's butt? What did it feel like? Was it smooth? What's Ashton Kutcher like? Did you kiss him? Did you taste him? I imagine that he tastes like butterscotch."
She's like, oh, Dean, you've really started things up with me.
Dean, this was a really great start.
Yeah. So
Court
he
is now
gets
in
the rose,
session.
which I predicted. Okay, now it's time for the 2-on-1 date with Rachel, Peter, the gap tooth model, and Copper, Rachel's gimpy dog, who
I
she
feel like you're
referred
not
to as her
even,
baby.
you know, she doesn't even want the best dog. Like, why would you name your dog Cop? Name your dog Gold or Platinum. Who names your
Yeah.
dog Copper? It's
She's
like a
like, but it's
penny.
really good for pipes. Yeah. If you have copper pipes, those are the best. She's just, you know. She's
Copper pipes, that's true. She's like,
yeah,
"This
she's
is
like
a
my
dog without lead in the water."
yeah.
So
She's like,
Peter's
my dog
like,
is super functional. Yeah.
yeah, she's like, "Well, this surprise, I'm bringing my best friend who got in a terrible accident and now has three legs." And he's like, "Oh my God, a guy with a huge dick." But no, it's Copper the dog.
Yeah.
And she's like, "If you touch him, that's all he needs." And Peter's like, "Yeah, like every man." Peter is a very boring person, but I really liked that they bonded over gap teeth. And then she's like, "So I've noticed that we have something in common." He's like, "Yeah, our gap tooth." And she's like, "Why didn't you fix your gap tooth?" And he's like, "Because everyone in my family has a gap tooth." And she's like, "Really? I'm the only one. Well, except my nephew. But then I went to the dentist and I was like, should I take out my gap tooth? And my dentist said, no, it gives you character. And so now I'm the gap tooth girl." And he's like, "I'm the gap tooth boy." And they're like, "Let's get married." Okay, guys, this is going to be the longest lasting marriage in Bachelor history.
I see him getting to the finale too, based on gap teeth.
Well, he's one of those hot guys who has nothing to say, and then you can just kind of project whatever personality you want onto them. So suddenly he's like a clown at child's parties, and he likes reading to poor people, and he's a millionaire, and then he beats you. You know, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like he suddenly gets drunk and mad one night.
I agree. So they fly to Palm Springs and they go to Barkfest, which is apparently like Coachella for dogs. And the dog is having a great time and they're laying in like a kiddie pool talking. And my kids were being loud and talking, so I couldn't hear what they were saying. But I was like, okay, just aesthetically, I can see these two together.
Well, yeah, he's beautiful. I mean, he's really good looking.
And
And
she's good looking, so together I was like, oh, they kind of look alike. They they're like going to be two really attractive people.
we're both hot. Let's get married.
Yeah, it
I mean, it
works.
works. So there, he's very cute. And I don't get a gay vibe from him, except that he's
No.
extremely pretty. But when she said we're going to Palm Springs, and he's like, I love Palm Springs, I was like, uh-oh. Because, you know, that's like gay vacation town.
Yes, yeah.
He's like, I've been to this party before. Usually I'm dressed like one of the dogs. I'm like, oh no, he's a furry. So I'm kind of worried for her, but he is very pretty. And then she's after they talked about the gap teeth, Rachel goes, Peter is blowing my mind. Dig deeper, Rachel.
I want to look up really quick while you're talking. I'm going to look up Eric because I feel like there was something. I mean, not Eric. I'm going to look up Peter in the cast because I feel like in his questionnaire, wasn't he one of the ones that's his big, the craziest thing he ever did was go to somewhere else to model? He's a bit. Oh, wait. Peter's the business owner.
Yeah, he's a small biz. No, he's a
Oh.
business owner from Wisconsin, but he never specifies his business, which makes me think he has
Oh.
like an eBay store.
Okay, well, which one was the male model then?
I
I've
don't.
had him confused with the male model. Oh, but what's the best trip you've ever been on? I moved to Athens, Greece for modeling for 3 months.
That is crazy. He's like, I went to Greece. Also, I love the musical Greece. Yay, Palm Springs. So, DeMar back at the house, DeMario's like, whoa, I know what I have. I know that I have what it takes to go far because I'm DeMario and I'm gonna go far because I know why I'm here and I made an impression and I'm gonna be on that date card. So the date card comes in. Chris is like, okay, just finished jerking in the trailer. Here's my 5 minutes. And he names all the people who are going. Diggy gets to go. And Diggy's now doing that thing where he's like, I'm Diggy. I'm named after a dog, but that doesn't mean that I don't have a really great personality. And I'm going to show you with my glasses. And sure enough, as we predicted in the beginning, he's got 20 different pairs of glasses that he changes to show his different moods.
He's like one of the, he's like a one of those composite pictures that people used to get in the 80s for when you would go out on commercial auditions and you'd have like one with a tennis racket and one with your glasses, like the glasses cardigan look. He
Yeah,
always
he's
looks like he's
like,
looking at the camera in a take a picture of me. This is going to be for my commercials.
yeah, I'm a
Right?
businessman in tortoiseshell glasses, and now I'm a plumber in clear glasses. Like, oh, wow, you're going to be cast as everything. Any person with lacking vision, you'll be cast as. Also, I still don't believe any of them have lenses that work. I still believe they're all clear Claire's Boutique
Oh, I'm
glasses.
sure. I'm sure.
So
He
they're
got.
announced that the group date. The card just says swish. And I'm like, girls, you know, she wrote that while she was on her Palm Springs date. Then DeMario goes, well, you can either sink with the fishes or swim to the shore. I'm like, DeMario, fish don't sink. You fucking idiot. Sink with the fishes. It's like he's gonna win. I was like, this guy's gonna win.
Oh, okay. So wait, so back on the 101 date, this was good. Peter and Rachel are having dinner and they're discussing the fact that they both look amazing with the gap in their teeth. And then Rachel does like the worst. She's just like, okay, I've been asked a lot of times like this question. And I really hate it. So now I'm going to ask it to you. You're so great. Why are you single? And then Peter's like, some Oprah-y, therapy speak where he's like, well, after I was modeling and modeling a lot with my gap tooth, I would just jump back into this relationship and it didn't really go that well. So I went to a relationship therapist. Okay, what's a relationship therapist? Is that a couples counselor? Have you ever heard of a relationship therapist?
I don't know if he really said this or if
He
this is,
did.
or if it's just how I wrote it in my notes, but I wrote, he said, I went to a relationship therapist and it taught me to think about my thoughts. These people are so stupid. I don't even
Oh
know
my
if it's
God.
real or not when I write this shit down. And she's
I
like, you're worrying me because I went to a therapist too. And she diagnosed me as gap toothed. And it prepared me to realize that the reasons that are right, my walls are down. Like you, but you're both so phony that you will totally be a good couple. Because when she said, well, how come you're not with anybody? He goes, that's a really good question.
Yeah. And my relationship therapist asked me the same thing. And she's like, oh my God, I have a barrette, but I call it a hair supporter. We are so alike.
She's like, okay, now let's bond by flossing the only way that the two of us can, with an actual toothpick between our front teeth. And he's like, oh my God, we're so bonded.
Oh my God. Didn't you feel like Rachel just was like, I'm done. I want to pick this guy now.
I mean, I would. A guy who like refuses to talk but admits he goes to therapy and like really cleans his teeth obsessively. I could not stop staring at his teeth. Because they're not the bleached white teeth where, I mean, I'm sure they're bleached, but they're not like too bleached like that first little guy, Dean.
Right.
These are like just white, like he actually brushes them instead of just pouring acid on them before he goes on TV. I was like, this
Yeah.
guy, I love his teeth wash. But you know, people that obsessed with their teeth, in every TV show, they're always crazy. Like they brush their teeth until they're bleeding, you know?
Yes.
So I suspect that's him. And I suspect that's the other little guy. But this guy, I don't know. I don't know what I think, but now I'm obsessed with teeth. Okay, so they go outside and they're looking at fireworks, and he goes, sometimes there's certain things you don't have to express, which is good, because literally I cannot express anything. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea what to say, but gap teeth. And so he kisses her, and he's the first good kisser.
Yes,
Right?
he's the first one that didn't trigger my misophonia. It's
What is misophonia?
when you don't like really no, certain noises.
Oh, that's
You know, when
right.
people chew too loud and it just makes your whole body want to just like you want to just sandpaper your skin off. Yeah, well, a lot of these guys when they kiss, it's just horrible.
Like the hard kissing guy. He's like,
Yes.
I'm like,
Yes.
you are not lapping up water like a Saint Bernard, okay? Please stop making that noise while you kiss. Yeah, this one was like slow. And then he's like, I'll grab your top lip now. Okay, now you grab my bottom lip and then you grab my top lip. Okay, slow, slow. I was like, yes, what a relaxing kiss to watch.
Yes. Yes.
So basketball day, dunk, 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 da dunk, dunk, da dunk, dunk. Basketball, swish. And all the guys are like, ooh, 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 ooh. They're all thrilled to play basketball.
Yep.
And then Rachel comes in. She's like, guys, I love basketball. I haven't played in a long time. So I'm rusty. So I asked my one-legged friend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to come in.
Oh my God.
And Kareem
And by the way,
Abdul-Jabbar.
one of the guys is like, Rachel's pants fit her like a Coca-Cola bottle. Ugh, gross.
What does that even mean?
It's just like, I don't, they're just like, ugh, her body. It's just like a Coca-Cola bottle. Ugh, I wanted to take a shower after that. Like, don't, I get it. I get that, like, you think she's hot and she's curvy, but like, come on, keep it in your pants. It's episode two.
And also, just like be more complimentary, like a Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah. Like maybe a Fanta,
Man, that
something.
girl's shaped like a corn nut. Well, how romantic. Thanks, guys. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like a really tall senior citizen now.
Yes.
And he's like, well, we're going to see what we got in here and up here. Oh, in here, your heart, and up here, in your mind. because it's not about hoops. It's about character. Okay, Kareem.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all the guys come out, and they're like, a lot of them are in basketball shorts because they're playing basketball, except for Lee, the lesbian with the side pomp, is wearing these like camo pants that look like he got them at Children's Place.
Yeah.
They're you notice that?
Yes. They're camouflage like tights. You know how men, like, they make jogging pants now that are like tights?
Yes.
It's like that.
Yes.
And, you know, men have just started getting those, but lesbians have had those for a long time. So I was like, okay, Lee. He's like, hey, guess what? I may not be good at basketball, but I've got keys to every door in this gym right on my belt. So DeMario gets a slam dunk. He's like, yeah, I knew I was a slam dunk because I'm a fish who doesn't sink. You want to sink like a fish? Slam dunk in a milkshake. I'm like, please stop talking. You make no sense.
I know. And he's doing this character that's just like, I'm the cocky guy. I'm just going to slam dunk her heart because I'm DeMario. And I'm the Michael Jordan. I'm the Shaquille O'Neal. I'm the Larry Bird. You don't stop DeMario's, but stop.
He's like, I'm the Steve Jobs of Rachel's heart. I'm like, he's dead. Please stop. So he dunks her, and she's like, oh, my God, you just dunked me? And I'm like, Kareem just told you that this was about the personality. That guy just basically came on your face and left. That was it. Like, he's done. He needs to be done. And then DeMario's like, she needs a confident man, and I'm confident.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just said that. Like, I'm like the Derek Jeter of basketball, or the Paul Newman of ranch dressing, or that gay dude in Vegas who got his face bit off by a lion. I'm like, please be quiet. So Rachel and Kareem, Rachel's like, you know, I've been watching DeMario and he dunked on me. So the jury's still out. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, so then Kareem tells the guys, listen, we can tell a lot about you from the way you play basketball. Like, are you part of a team or do you spin the ball on your finger? So what we're going to do.
Do you jerk off in the shower or do you wait until you get home?
So what we're going to do is we're going to separate you guys into teams. Don't worry. We're going to sprinkle in the black guys and the white guys together, which I just thought was like,
Kareem,
you know, so planned. And then, you know, you guys are going to play each other. So immediately the lesbian's like, oh, shit. I'm like, I'm 5 feet even. This is so unfair. I don't want to do this. And
do you guys have softballs? Why do I have to play basketball?
Yeah.
I like when Kareem goes, guys, you don't have to play basketball to get married. It's like, did someone write that for you? Thanks for the advice, Kareem.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
So
then the guys play, the guys come out and play a game in front of a packed house, and you can't tell what's happening, but Rachel's taking notes for some reason. Did you notice that?
She was taking notes?
Yes. I was like, what are you writing? It's not America's Next Top Model. There's no rounds. It's just a basketball game. Just watch it. What are you writing? Are you keeping your own score? I mean, there's a...
I didn't even notice that. That's hilarious. She's like, I'm a lawyer, so I will take notes. She's like, hey, guess what? I'm taking notes on a legal pad. Ding, ding, ding. So after the game, there's a hooker there who's like, listen, I may be balding, but that doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion about things.
And I noticed that too. Okay. Listen, all of our listeners, y'all saw this. So, you know, let's just break it down. This girl was sketchy AF.
Yeah, she
right?
was. Yeah.
She looked like a tweaker. And somebody on our Facebook page said, like, or somebody maybe on Twitter was like, if you're going to go confront your boyfriend on national television, shouldn't you wear a cuter outfit? Like, what was she wearing?
I mean, if anything calls for a blossom hat, it's this scene. It's like, please put on a hat.
Yeah.
And also, she was wearing like acid wash mom jeans.
Yeah,
This girl literally crawled out of the trailer from the baby challenge.
She did.
So she shows up and she's like, "Rachel, we have to talk. I was watching TV and you were on there. And then this guy came out and gave you an engagement ring. And that was my boyfriend for 7 months. He literally has a key to my apartment." And Rachel's like, "Did he break up with you before the show?" And she's like, "Key to my apartment. Did you hear me? Key to my apartment. That man has a key to my apartment." she's really obsessed with keys.
So she's like, "So you guys were together? I said he was my boyfriend of 7 months or 5 months or 2 years or a week. I don't keep track of that kind of thing, but we were together.
All I know is that we were together so long that if I had waited one more day to have an abortion, it would have been too late." She's like, I think that's 4 months. Okay, whatever you say. Oh. He has keys to my apartment. Did you hear me? So this guy never even broke up with her. Oh. He just stopped responding to texts. And yeah. She goes, "Literally, I hadn't heard from him in literally 3 days. And then literally, yeah, he was on my TV. Keys."
Yeah. Okay. So I'm watching this, and I think I'm all alone in this, but I'm watching this and I'm like, yeah, so he blew you off. Like, they weren't engaged. I mean, haven't we seen actual relationships on the show before? Like, listen, I'm not going to stick up for DeMario at this point because
he's DeMario. Like, you can't, he's the worst.
Right. Right. And I'm sure but I'm sure there's 4 other girls like this one. Like, it's just a weird thing to go, "I'm going to go on the show and tell her who he is." Some guy that fucked you a few times. And like he even says later, "Well, it was on again, off again." And she doesn't really argue that. They weren't like girlfriend and boyfriend.
Well, to just not call back and then go on The Bachelor is pretty bad. But I feel like no one ever calls this girl back. You know,
right?
Like, if she really had communication in her relationships, people would say, "Your jeans smell and you need to stop. You need to take them off. Like, the 80s are over." Like, yeah. no one needs to see that. Please empty your fanny pack and come into this century or this decade. So she's like, she's yelling at him like she's on Jerry Springer. And DeMario is obviously fucked at this point because he's like, "Well..." When he walks in, he thinks he's got some special date. He's like, "I'm pumped. I win at life and I win at basketball. And I thank the gods for letting me win yet again." And he walks in and she goes, "Karma's a bitch." She goes, "Karma's a bitch, ain't it, DeMario?" And he goes, "Who's this?"
That was my favorite moment of the entire episode. He acts like somebody dropped by, like, for dinner. He's like, "Oh, who's this?
You still have the keys to my apartment, motherfucker. You think you can tell this girl you're going to wife her?" Like, oh, no, this girl. And he goes, "This girl is psycho. I met her many times ago."
Yeah. And Rachel's like, "What, many times ago? You need to clarify. Could I have the legal, the stenographer read that back? Many times ago? Is that what you're going with? You're under oath."
And then the girl's just going, "Fuck you." She's in the back yelling like, "Fuck you, keys to my house."
She's on a meth bender.
Yeah,
she's
and
like,
Rachel.
Ah, my leg hurts.
She's acting like she's being held back, but she's not. She's like, "Let me at him." No one's even holding her.
Rachel's like, "I want to take Lexi home to hang out with my dog. My leg hurts."
He goes, "I met her a few times, but we had something. But then we lost it," because she's like, she is right now. She's like, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
So she goes, "I said, how come you haven't introduced me to your friends and family? You said you'll try. And then you went on The Bachelorette." And he's like, "This is why I said I couldn't do it anymore." She's like, "You did not. I've got his text right here. Here, Rachel." And Rachel's like, okay. "Your pussy is like a sinking fish. You winner, girl. Times and times again. Call
I'll
me.
I'll try harder."
Yeah. Here's my mom's phone number or whatever. And she's like, "And what about my keys?"
He's like, "I mailed them back to you. That was not good."
Yeah.
Rachel, as a lawyer, had to have been like, okay, a lot of this, you know, I a good defense attorney could work on this, but you why'd you say you mailed her keys back?
Yeah,
That
that's like the
implies you had
obvious
her
lie.
keys. If she was just some girl you were hooking up with, well, not only is it an obvious lie, but it confirms that that you had her keys.
Yeah, he's a terrible liar.
He should have just been like, "What keys, bitch? You're crazy. You're delusional. Why would I have your keys? I hooked up with you a couple times after the club."
Why would I need your keys when I have the combination to your front door? I mean, damn it. Damn it.
Then Lee, the lesbian, comes running out. "I've got keys.
Who's
I've
got
got your keys."
keys? If there were keys in the mailbox, I would have felt it. And then Rachel goes, "Now, if I look at her cell phone, will it coincide with your story or hers?" It's like, what does that mean? Will it coincide? And then
Yeah.
he goes, "Well, I guess it depends on the dates."
Yeah, which was kind of a good answer.
Not at all. He's like, "Well, I guess it depends on how far back she kept the text, stupid." So
Yeah.
Rachel gets all mad and she goes, "This is not what I'm, you know, this isn't what I'm here for. And I would appreciate if you just get the fuck out."
Yeah. She's like, "I did not come here. I came here to get something started in the love department, not to get fucking embarrassed. And you fucking embarrassed me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ask you to get the fuck out of here right now."
And he goes, "That's crazy. That's crazy. That's nuts. That's crazy. Oh man, that's crazy. Dude, crazy. That is crazy nuts. Crazy, crazy. Nuts, nuts. I pride myself on being respectable and real, and then my character is assassinated. Crazy nuts."
So here's the thing. This is just what I want to say because, this is our podcast, and I know a lot of people disagree. And I get the fact that DeMario, should have been, he probably should have been eliminated because he's a douche. But I don't think that any of the guys, they're all there to be on TV. All of them, I'm sure, had some kind of booty call situation going on. I don't think this was worth the over-the-top dramatics
Well, I
of
think if he
like.
had just said, "Yes, I dated that girl. I don't know why she's here. I broke up with her and came on the show. Like, what's the big deal?" But he didn't. He's like, "Who's this? I don't know this person. Oh, wait, I
Yes.
do kind of know her. Oh, I don't have keys to her house. Oh, I do have keys, but I sent them in the mail." But, you know, it's like he's just lie, 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 lie. And also, he thinks that fish sink. So, bye.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not arguing that he's like a good guy and that he's not a liar and he should have been kicked off. But I'm just saying the whole idea of them acting like he had a girlfriend. This girl was clearly not his girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was a girl that has a drug problem that wanted to be on TV.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was like a booty call. So the dramatics of Rachel with the like, "Maybe I shouldn't even do this show. Are all men liars?" was a bit much.
And yes, all men are liars. So she goes into the locker room and she's like, "Guys, basketball. Sometimes you dunk and sometimes you swish. But I found out that DeMario, you know, I don't know if he has a girlfriend. I don't know if he cut it off. The iMessage dates were inconsistent and unreliable. But whatever the case may be, ding, 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 there's something there."
Yeah.
And
But
she
then she's
goes,
kind of half crying and she's like, "I told you guys I was 100
"I'm
and
keeping
not
it
100 years
100.
old. I'm keeping it 100. And if you guys aren't gonna, if you're gonna keep it 99, just get the fuck out right now. Just get out, please. Just get out.
"If anyone
Go."
else has a girlfriend, tell me now." "Okay, bye." I'm like, you didn't even
Yeah.
give them a chance to tell you. You're like, "Tell me now." "Okay, I'm leaving." And then Urkel goes, "How can you be so duplicitous?"
Yeah.
And now all the guys are acting like it was done to them. They're like, "I
Yes.
trusted DeMario. How can
Oh
he
my
not be here for the right reasons? It's
God.
a slap in the face."
Oh my God. Thank you. Because I was thinking that exact same thing. I was like, they're all acting like they're all scandalized. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
"I can't believe DeMario left me." Like, this did not happen to any of you. And I like when they're trying to cry and then they have close up on that man in it like a man bun.
Yes.
So next step is Clifton's cafeteria. So tortoiseshell glasses has worn tortoiseshell clear glasses and now he's in black and white glasses, which means he really feels duplicitated. So he's
Yes.
like, "Walking in tonight, there's a damper.
Yeah.
Did you walk into a piano?
He's like, I need to try to distract her from her bad feelings. I'm going to show her some of my shoe collection. He's like, I have 500 pairs of shoes. I bet she would like to see them.
And he goes, I don't
broke up
want
with a
people
pair of shoes before I came here. I'm in a relationship with many other pairs of shoes, but Rachel's special.
Rachel may be a Bentley, but I'm Vans. It's like, so Diggy actually says, I don't want people in my circle who lie. And he lied to all of us. And I don't want him in my circle. It's like, okay, everybody line up to apologize to Diggy.
Yeah. But first Josiah gets his alone time with her. And you know Josiah is just cannot believe his good fortune that his arch nemesis is kicked off the show. But he tries to act like he's the most personally offended because he was lied to as well. He's like, first they do some really loud kissing, which triggers me because I'm a snowflake and I don't like those kind of noises. It's so, his kissing is disgusting.
Yeah, it really. Yeah. And also he comes across as very insincere because he's like,
oh yeah,
you know, when I saw you in tears, I saw tears in your eyes and it hurt me to see hurt. And to see someone here for ulterior motives, it pissed me off. And I like you. And then he's like, ding, like his smile.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they start making out. And she's like,
ugh.
He showed me a protective nature. He also felt played. So Diggy is like, you know, he gets his alone time. And he's like, the most attractive thing about you is you know what you want. And hopefully it's a guy with a dog's name who has a lot of glasses. I'm not sure. So then Urkel pulls out a card from his wallet and he's like, the rules of McDonald's Monopoly. If you collect Boardwalk and Park Place, you will be entered into a pool where you will have the choice to win $1 million or free fries for the rest of your life. And she's like,
yeah,
thanks, Urkel. That was so romantic.
Yeah. And then Alex, the Russian guy, sings her a song and it's uncomfortable.
He's like, I dedicate this song to you. Baby, you're a firework. Let me see your colors work. This is Russian baby song.
Let me make borscht, borscht, borscht. Until you say nyet, nyet, nyet.
Baby, you're a potato knish. I will make your every wish. Maybe add some sour cream.
Or some apple sauce.
It's like, that was beautiful. So then, let's see.
Then Eric.
I see what you like.
Is Eric
and
Urkel?
What you're like no, you're getting to know a person and like quality time and acts of service.
Doesn't Eric have like a Tyler Perry, like a gay uncle vibe?
He does. And he's like fast
he's like,
talking.
Ah, girl!
He does. He's like, here's what you like. You like getting to know a person and having quality time and you like acts of service. I'm like, when did she ever say any of those things? And then he goes, oh! And he goes, personally, from my perspective, the more time I have with you, the more I know you because I don't like to force things. She's like, thanks, I hate rape too. And he's like, time with you makes me feel like we've got time together. And time is time, you know? Time after time, Cindy Lauper. Wow! Yeah!
And this date has been brought to you by Tyler Perry Productions. Yeah. So then Josiah gets the rose.
Yes.
And then Rachel's like, guys, get some rest. Why do the leads always tell people to get rest?
Shouldn't
Chris Harrison tell them to get some rest? Shouldn't they decide? I mean, these are guys in their 20s and 30s. Do they need her to say, get some rest? Guys,
like,
I want you
Rachel
to go to bed by 10:30 or 11 at the latest.
Your baby monitors are on. If anybody has problems, I will be there. So Josiah is so happy. He's like, you know, I'm really glad that I got this rose because some people have ulterior motives. I'm like, why does everybody keep saying ulterior motives?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. He's like, I felt butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah.
Now, please never wear white jeans again because it's winter and you look ridiculous, okay? Okay, get rest. So at the mansion, it's raining, and Iggy goes, the weather today is appropriately fitting.
The weather today fits like a Coca-Cola bottle.
I love the language of The Bachelor. Like, people just reinvent language on this show.
Yeah.
So Diggy has yet a new pair of glasses on. And he goes, to see how Rachel was affected hurt us. To come on the show and lie about your reasons when you have another reason. We're always going to think people are here for the wrong reasons. I'm like, I'm sorry you were traumatized, Diggy. Can you get over it, please?
Yeah. But then Rachel comes out. She's like, guys, I object to the fact that I was deeply hurt by DeMario. And, like, you know, I really would like to make a case for you guys, but I just don't know if I'm ever going to be able to move past it. Like, I don't know if I could put this in the past because wrong reasons. But you know what? I might be able to put it in the past. And I'm going to tell you guys why. Because there's some heroes in this room. There's some heroes in this room who, like, defended my honor and who are here for reasons. Reasons I don't know yet, and I'm going to find out. Hopefully not ex-girlfriend reasons. Okay? But here's the thing, guys. With the help of you and Oprah, I'm going to find the strength to move past it.
Reasons, right? Reasons, reasons.
And we're going to have a fresh start.
Case closed.
You guys, I'm ready for a fresh start with all of you.
So she is standing there while she's giving this stupid speech about nothing. Did you notice she just keeps clinking her ice in her glass? The whole speech is like clink, 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 clink.
You know that the people sitting with the headphones on, the sound guys, were just like, can we cut? Can we cut?
She's like, okay, do you want to start? Do you want me to start on right reasons or vulnerable? They're like, fuck it, just leave it in. Just leave it in. So alone time, they start like going through all the guys. Like the hair plug guy, who's the hard kisser, is like, first of all, like dog lapping up water on her face. Yeah. And she's like, I just want to say, I'm sorry that you didn't get the first date, but I didn't get the first date on my first episode either. But, you know, here's to this great beginning and first impressions. I hope we both make a first impression again. And he's like, you know, there's something I want to talk about, DeMario, because you were concerned, and I don't want you to feel like that. So I prepared something for you. I'm going to be your stress release. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to jerk off. But he gave her a gift certificate for a massage. So he gives her a massage, and
How creepy was that?
It's embarrassing.
Horribly creepy. First of all, something to know about me. I don't like massages. I'll go to a place and have like a facial and rub my hand. That's fine. I don't want some guy climbing on top of me, rubbing my shoulders.
Yeah,
no.
He's like, I'm going to do you a favor. Attract you and rub you down head to toe. She's like, but she takes it. And then the random little white guy, I think his name is Joe, but there's like one little guy I never remember he's there. And then he'll do things like say, bro. I'm like, oh, who's that guy? But he has a moment with her and he's like, you're a dream girl, so I want to build a dream house. And he takes off a sheet and it's a Barbie dream house. So I was like,
yes,
dude, do you think she's already trying to weed out gay guys? Well, actually, it might work. It might work. Never mind. I changed my mind. Because we were just in Palm Springs.
Yeah, that is true. So then DeMario comes back. And he runs into like a bodyguard from, you know, the Springer show. Why do they need those kind of big bodyguards around?
I feel like they need to get bodyguards that can run. I don't understand why just obese people are bodyguards. They're like, everybody's afraid of fat people. Just stand in front of the door.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want someone to leave, just say fat is contagious and they'll run away. Like, what the hell? It's so offensive. As a fat person, I'm offended.
Oh, okay. So this was really funny. This was my second favorite moment in the episode. So DeMario runs into the bodyguard guy and he goes, listen, things really broke down and I need to speak to her. I need to speak to her one more time. And then the guard goes, all right, I'm going to have to go get Mr. Harrison. No, you're not. Mr. Harrison is not a fucking producer on the show. Like, at this point, after all this time, I think people know how television works. And I think they know that Chris Harrison is not working on the show. He's
He's
not
like,
a guy.
wait a
He's not
second.
standing by in case shit goes sideways, waiting to be called upon. And nobody calls him Mr. Harrison.
Yeah, he's like, sir, I will walk extremely slowly to the guest house and call Mr. Pat Sajak to see what he thinks about this. I was like, what? Okay.
I will see if you, so wait, let me get this straight. You want to buy a vowel? All right. I'm going to need, I will speak to Pat Sajak.
So when he's talking to the
no
bodyguard,
whammies,
he's
whammies,
like,
no whammies, no whammies.
The guy's like, how are you? And he goes, you know, man, after that game, I experienced one of the many highs of my life and also one of the lows of my life when someone from my past came up and assassinated my character. I like that he just keeps saying assassinated character. Like JFK was assassinated.
Yeah.
Okay. Not your character. Stupid. So Lee, the tiny lesbian, what is it with short guys on this show who are always into other people's business? Because the midget Marine from last year was doing this too. He's like, I'm going to listen, girl.
God.
So he's standing there and he's like, oh my God, Demario's back. Men's Warehouse. I'm telling everybody. So he runs in and he's like, you guys. Guess what? DeMario's back. She's in the front and she's meeting him. And they're like, we're betrayed. And so they all go out. And the guy from, you know, Fred, the camp criminal, whatever he did at camp, he's like,
yeah.
I just want to say, you lied, man.
I know. They're all so mad. They're all going to go beat him up. But listen, in their defense, it is a little weird that Rachel acted like this was like the worst thing that's ever happened to her. That one of the guys on a reality show had a booty call shortly before he came on the show. Like, this is just the worst thing that's ever happened, because they should have all been living in like a monastery, never having had a relationship. They should all be virgins. Uh-huh. So she's cried so much about this. And now she's like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little curious. What? Like, the guys are confused. They were given one script, which was be really mad. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to Rachel. You have to defend her honor. And now she's like, well, I just want to go check it out, see what he has to say. And now they're all confused.
Uh-huh. And then that's how it ends. It's like, to be continued. But so, the last line was like, I'm going to whoop his ass. I'm like, okay, guys, that's going to turn a lady on. She's like, wow, he has extreme violence. I hope it was the wrestler who said that. So she could be like, he's, you know, now I could raise another man's or another woman's child. Who's violent? It's like,
yeah.
So the post thing that credits wacky moment is Waboom spelling his name for people. And I just can't with him. Let's pretend it didn't happen.
Okay. But LB pointed out to me, cause you know, she's in middle school, that Waboom, that the Chiron people have spelled his name differently every time. Sometimes it's spelled WABOOM, and then they've also put it under his name as WHAMBOOM. I mean, WHABOOM. Anyway.
But then here he's like, it's WAAHBOOOOO.
Yeah.
It's like he's counting it out like music rests.
He's
an
a
idiot.
Nightmare.
Yeah, I hate him. I hope he dies. Okay, well, that brings
episode.
Us to the end. And
yeah.
Let's thank our wonderful business sponsor, shall we, madame?
Yes. Michelle McKibben is our business sponsor, and she's with People's Home Equity Mortgage. And you can find her if you want to get a loan at McKibben, McKibbin, Michelle@yahoo.com. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Everybody, we will talk to you next week. If you want our bonus episodes, come over to patreon.com and sign up. We do one every week. Our first one of the season is this week, probably released tomorrow-ish, Wednesday. And we love you. All these business shout-outs and premium sponsor shout-outs are all through Patreon. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. We sure love you.
Love you guys. Thank you, Ronnie. You cracked me up today.
You too. Thanks. That was really fun.
Yeah.
We'll talk next week, guys.
Bye, guys.